died for you. He died for me. From our sin, he set us free. He loved us so, his life he gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power. Thank you for joining with us in the study of Jesus in the book of Joshua. Jesus is the one who fights the battle for us. He is our warrior we turn to defeat the enemy. The power of His Spirit resides within us to conquer the world. But more than Joshua, Jesus is eternal.
Jesus is Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, we always preach Jesus beginning in Matthew. We go to Mark, Luke, John. But we need to start back at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus in the Hebrew, remember, Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Word. So it's no coincidence that God would choose a deliverer for Israel named Jesus. And now I'm talking about Joshua. Because Joshua in the Hebrew is Yeshua. Jesus in the Hebrew is Yeshua. Jesus in the Greek is Jesus. Joshua in the Greek is Jesus. Joshua, the deliverer that we are speaking about today, God used him to bring Israel into the promised land, to enter into his rest. Unfortunately, Joshua could not complete the task because he was but a man and he could not control all of the people. Instead, many times, as we have seen about Israel, they have rebelled. But lest you forget, I'm not picking on Israel, because if you will notice America today, we are in absolute, total rebellion against God. And so it happens time and time and time again. God blesses us, we give Him thanks for the blessings, we walk out the doors and forget what He did. We complain, we cry, we gripe, we do whatever because we forget the blessings of God. We must realize in Joshua, they were trying to work on their works. They were trying to rest in their works. In America, we try to rest in our works. I'm good enough. I don't need a Savior. Just like he said, Oprah says, there's many ways to the top of the mountains. God says that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the life. He, by grace, you have been saved. Through faith. Christianity is the only religion, if we want to call it a religion, which to me, Christianity, true Christianity, is not a religion at all. It's a relationship with God. A direct relationship with the Father. Heart to heart. Talking with my Father. It's the only religion that does that. Every other religion says that if you work hard enough, if you do the right things, if you do all the things for your God, whoever that God might be, you might be able to see Him someday, maybe, if you're one of the lucky few. And I chose that word lucky, even though I don't like the word lucky. But if you are not worshiping God, our God, you better be lucky. Because we are blessed. We are blessed by God because of His grace. But instead, what was going on in the book of Joshua is just exactly what had always gone on with Israel, is they were trying to enter into the promised land by their works. And in fact, I will submit to you that Israel never got it. Israel, throughout the Old Testament, never understood the grace of God. Israel, throughout the Old Testament, always tried to go by their works. The reason they missed Yeshua was because they were looking for the one who was going to come and work, riding in on a white horse, leading them to victory as they slashed the Roman Empire to the threads with the sword. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for a salvation by works, just exactly like the rest of the world is today, a salvation by works. But they didn't know the Yeshua that we know, who came in riding on a donkey, saving the world through grace for all eternity, not only for this life that we're in today. This life is but a fleeting second. And even though you that have been around me, when I'm in this pulpit here, it sounds like I never complain. You that have a close relationship with me know that that does happen occasionally. You just be quiet up there on the top. Because we always look at the circumstances before us instead of understanding, you know, I know God, I know you got this. But we still look at what we can see right now, and we can't help it but in wonderment see how's it going to play out for our life. What exactly is going to happen? I know you got this. God, I know that everything is under your control. But will that control lead me to persecution, or will it lead me to blessings? Just as we've studied with Joseph, it led to blessings. And see, ultimately, what we have to realize as Christians, as those who are saved by grace in Jesus Christ, is it will lead absolutely, unequivocally, to salvation. It will lead to blessing in Jesus Christ throughout eternity. We have to begin to get our minds off of this age today. Off of whether or not we're going to be able to have enough money to make our car or truck payment tomorrow. Who cares? You know, we were at a men's conference this week, this last couple of days. Very good. But it made me think, because even as I was listening to the men's conference, and the man was, Steve Hale was an excellent teacher, and he was biblical, and he was telling us everything, and God wants us to be honorable. So I want you to make sure you know that I'm not telling you to throw all your everything in the fire right now and don't pay your bills. I got to put that up front. There's a disclaimer here. But I see our spirituality even is measured by our capitalistic society. And you that are also close to me, and actually you that have just heard me from the pulpit, I believe in capitalism. I think it is the best system there is in the world. I believe in that. I believe that's a good way of freedom in this life. At the same time, we measure every aspect of the church and everything from capitalism. You can't hardly get a job as a pastor if you don't have good credit. Now, I know, you say, well, you know, if they can't manage your own money, then you can't manage the money of the church. So I realize that it's important to manage our money. But however, there is going to come a point, in fact, there is right now a point in time when everybody's credit's going to be bad. People are losing things right and left. People are losing houses, cars, they're losing everything. God does whatever it is He has to do to get someone's attention. Now personally, I'm blessed. The Lord has blessed my life. I haven't even seen that much difference in the economy. It's a strange thing. God is blessing. Perhaps you that give to the Lord, the funny thing, as I give more, the less I feel it. It is the strangest thing, the way God works. Now, go ahead and wait a minute. Don't be nervous. This is not a tithing sermon. But all of the blessings of God intertwine. They intertwine with us. And the fact that today it is so important for us to forget worrying about the cars, forget worrying about the houses, forget worrying about your IRAs, forget worrying about the NRA, forget worrying about all of those things that are superficial, and worry about the spiritual things of God. Because it is the spiritual things of God that ultimately are going to bring us through to the end, and in fact, what we are going to live for eternity. In fact, what we are preparing for today, which is God the Father throughout eternity. I don't get to take my checking account with me, and you know what? I'm glad. Now, some of y'all, maybe you want to take your checking account with you. Well, I'm sorry about that too. You're not going to be able to. It stays right here with whoever. I'm preparing for eternity. Maybe it's easier. The reason that Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through an eye of a needle is because when you don't have anything, even though I am richly blessed, but by American standards, I don't have much. And so I can stand up here and say, well, I don't have anything. You know, it's not really accurate. In the world scheme of things, I am one of the top 2%, and so are you. So are you in the economy. I'm looking to the eternity. I'm looking at what God wants me to do today. And that's trust in Him. And what Israel never did in the Old Testament, well, let me clarify that. What Israel did sporadically in the Old Testament was trust God. Because then as soon as they trust Him, then they turn against Him. There is no rest in works. You cannot rest today in this life in your works. You can't rest today in the works of your bank account. You can't rest today in how good you are at your job. There's a lot of people who are very good at their job who are trying to find a job right now. Lots of them. You can't rest in your works. God didn't finish the conquest through Joshua. Joshua 13, 1 through 7 says, Joshua was well advanced in years, but he had not conquered all of the promised land. It's partly because of the disobedience of Israel during the conquest, and partly because Jesus was the one who would finish the work. Partly because God knew the sacrifice of man was not going to be enough. God knew the works of our labors was not enough for salvation. It had to come only through Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Mighty One, the Creator. Joshua 15:63 and 17:12 give accounts of an Israel who could not possess the entire promised land because of their disobedience. Hebrews 4:8 confirms that the rest for Israel was not given through the conquest of Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken about a later day. That would have been the rest of God. Hebrews 3:11 through 18 says, "So I declared on an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God, the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that one of you might be hardened by sin's, if one of you is hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear this voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion." Now remember, the Hebrew author is speaking to the Jews. But I'm speaking to you. Don't harden your heart. And in fact, ultimately, since we know the New Testament was written to Christians, the Hebrew author is also speaking to us. Trust in God. soften your heart. Understand, no matter what it is we're going through right now, God's got it. He's got it in control. He knows how it's going to end, and it's going to end in your favor if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Continuing, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? Moses couldn't be the deliverer. And with whom was he angry for 40 years, talking about God? Was it with those who sinned, those whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? What is our disobedience today? Rejecting Jesus Christ. Works of righteousness did not complete the rest. It did not give rest, and it never, neither does it today. Our rest is in Jesus Christ. Our rest resides only in Jesus Christ. The conquest was completed through Jesus. The conquest we have witnessed was completed through Jesus Christ. The Jews did not realize that the conquest that Joshua could not finish, that to enter into the promised land, was finished when they hung Jesus Christ on the cross. Many today say that we shouldn't say the Jews hung Jesus Christ on the cross. That's anti-Semitic. It makes people decide, people get angry and people hate the Jews. Quite the contrary for me. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize that as much as the Jews hung Jesus on the cross by their disobedience, so did we. Our disobedience. We would love in our arrogance today say, well, if I were there, I would have stood against it. When in fact, knowing what I know about us, we would have probably either been very subdued in the back crowd hiding with the disciples, or spearing it on. Crucify him. Crucify him. But no, because God had another plan. Because God hadn't finished the conquest yet. And the conquest included our resting in Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual conquest. The conquest that we have today is a spiritual conquest. Yesterday in our men's meeting with Steve Hale, we were trying to decide why more men don't come to church. He never mentioned this one. But I know that men are hunters. He did mention something about hunting. And I know men are hunters. And it's about the hunt. It's about the conquest. And perhaps what men don't realize is that we are still in the middle of the conquest today. That through grace in Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to bring others to the kingdom. We have the opportunity to pick up our swords and lead the conquest with Jesus. We have that opportunity to run to the battle. Because the battle lines have been drawn, and the battle lines are in the media, they're in the government, they're in your place of work. They are as you walk out these doors, the battle lines have been drawn. We're in a fight for the very life of this country. And the world. We're in a fight for the millions of souls that are dying and going to hell today. But our conquest was led by Jesus Christ. He told us what to do. He told us to be a part of that conquest. And if you've entered in, you have already become victorious. But there are many who have not. And I know there are many who have not because I see empty pews today. Maybe your neighbor's one of them. Maybe someone you wait on in the store all the time is one of them. Maybe one of your customers is one of them. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. Have you ever wondered why when you read the Word of God, He speaks in terms that we might consider as weapons? 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are in the middle of a war. We're in the middle of the conquest. The conquest is led by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're falling in line in the ranks behind Him. And we are to proclaim His gospel and tell those about Jesus Christ and tell Him that there is rest. There's rest from the battle that's in the front. Because you know the wonderful thing about it is, those of us who are behind Jesus, it's really not fair. Because He's doing all the work. He's the one fighting the battle. You see, we're resting behind Him as we go along. But those on the other side of Jesus, those who are fighting with Satan's army right now, are in struggles and are in defeat and are in chaos. They're in bewilderment, trying to figure out their way. What am I going to do? I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my car. I don't have anything to eat. My IRA is gone. All of my retirement is gone. What am I going to do? They're walking in utter and total confusion. But if you're in Jesus Christ, in the middle of the war, in the middle of the conquest, we have rest because He's in front of us fighting the battle. Jesus has won the battle, and now we can enter into the rest of God. He's won the battle. He's already said when he hung on the cross, His last breath was, "It is finished." He's won the battle. But yet He still tells us there's a war going on. You see, He's already the victor. And those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ are already the victor. We have won the battle. We're on victory's side. But He still requires us to go and speak to those about Jesus so that they might join in our rest. If you're not in rest today, relinquish it to God. Relinquish the fight to God. Lay the works down. Follow Jesus Christ. Jesus fought for Israel in Joshua 5. Jesus fought for us in Revelation 19. Wait a minute, Rick. Revelation hadn't happened yet. You're mistaken, no? It says in the Word of God, it's going to happen. And according to God, it already has happened. Jesus said, we're in heaven today because His promises are true and they're real. That means He said it. That means it already has happened, even though we can't see it. The completion of the conquest goes far beyond the promised land of Israel. The completion of the conquest goes far beyond Joshua, the book of Joshua. The completion of the conquest resides in our rest in Jesus today. Revelation 21, 1 through 2 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down and out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." After the redemption from Egypt and Exodus, Israel begins the conquest led by Joshua. After the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the church moved forward to conquer the world in His name. That's what we're called to. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you until the end of the age. That's what Jesus has told us to do. He's told us to join in the conquest. Understand that we are in a spiritual warfare. A warfare that has already been won. We just need to go tell everybody else, look, you just need to go ahead and surrender. Because the battle's fought. You're fighting for nothing. It's like going and finding an old island in the Pacific where two people over there are still fighting. Maybe a Japanese guy and an American guy, and they're still fighting on this island. They don't know the war's over. They don't know they have the victory. They're still fighting. The people who are are without Jesus Christ in their heart, they don't know they have the victory. They think that there's still a battle raging. The conquest comes through Jesus Christ, who we enter into His rest. Whatever it is that you are struggling with today, stop. If you're struggling with it today, then you are lacking faith in God. Because it's not for yours to struggle. It's for yours to lay the struggle at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, I surrender this to you, Lord. Now it's yours. You take care of it. Take that weight up off your shoulder. Sometimes you get those shoulders heavy. Do you start feeling that tension on you? I can even feel it right now as I push my, if you take your fingers and just kind of push on the top of your shoulder, I bet you've felt that before without your hand being there. That's exactly what it feels like. That's a weight on your shoulder that instead, when you remove your hand, the weight is absolutely lifted off as we enter into the rest of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about whether you've got a job tomorrow. Because God's going to take care of you. We, as Christians, must walk by faith and show that world that's in turmoil and in a battle where the rest is. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You. We rest in Your love. We accept Your power. We accept the fact that You are in control. We understand that we have no power without You. Thank You, Lord, for fighting the battle for us. Thank You for being the kind of God who is always there. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You that we can rest in the fact that You have told us that we will rest in You, and it is done. I pray today, Father, if anyone does not know You, that they might come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If there might be one that would like to rededicate their life today, I pray that they would do so today in Jesus Christ. And I give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with this study. If you would like more information about my ministry, please feel free to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. God bless you in your faithfulness to Jesus. Until next time, I pray you receive His gospel power
all
today.
Be washed away. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.